Hi, I'm Brandon, and I'm here with Kevin. Kevin, you want to say hi?
Hi.
There it is. He is excited. We're the Sons of the Double Cheeseburger, and it's another week. We're excited to talk to each other, and we know some of you are listening. Thanks for listening. And we're just kind of getting started here. Just so that you know, before we started recording, we invented a new word. You're going to start hearing it all over the place. It's swip swap. So feel free to use that when you're out and about. I know you're not supposed to be out and about, but if you are, or if you're just with family, use swip swap with all of them. Make it catch
use
on.
Use it in a sentence. To give a demonstration of its proper use, Brandon, use it in a sentence.
Well, you know, okay, I'll do that, and then I want you to do that, because I'm not actually sure that this word has been fully defined yet. I think it still could be sort of, you know. At least the way I would want to use it is to say, well, we have a couple of options for how we're going to intro today's show, so let's record them both, and then if we don't like the one, we can swip swap.
Okay.
So that's all one. Right. How would you use it any other way?
Okay, here's the example I would use. All right. Today, I am going to do the dishes. And then tomorrow, you can do the dishes. And each day, we will swip swap.
I like that. Okay. So, internet masses, you have your marching orders. Now you've heard a couple of different ways to use swip swap. If you want to really break new ground and have it be something else entirely, go for it. Just make sure it catches on.
You can leave a comment on our Facebook page if you'd like to let us know perhaps an additional usage that you think is consistent with the other two.
I like that.
But can enhance its cultural relevance.
So it would be like a value-added definition? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah,
value. Language is alive, Brandon.
Sure is.
It's not a dead thing. It's always growing.
No. It is. Like my girth in the shelter in place. Yeah. Are you getting a lot of physical fitness in?
Are you getting the quarantine 15?
I'm trying not to. I have not picked up a quarantine 15. I've picked up maybe like 2.5.
Well, the quarantine isn't over yet either.
It's true. So I'm up to 2.5 on the quarantine 15. But I'm dismayed by that already. How are you doing?
I would assume I've put on a little bit of weight.
There you go.
It's hard to tell, though, because I, you know.
You threw your scale out the window?
Sorry. You know, I mean, when the bucket's already full, can you tell if you've added a few drops, right?
That's a good point. That's a good point. And that's really what we all are, kind of, isn't it? We're like big buckets. As we said, we continue to be in quarantine. I'm going to stop on that for a minute, because I'm hearing more and more people call it being in quarantine when you're just regular folks. But we're not all in quarantine. Are we?
No, we're not. No. I mean, I use quarantine for the quarantine 15. That's the phrase, but because shelter in place doesn't have a nice, numerical rhyme to it.
No.
No,
can call it SIP. Shelter in place. We're SIP, baby.
We're sipping.
Yeah. That's another. Okay, we're going to. Folks listening, you got two assignments now. You're going to make swip swap a thing, and we're going to refer to this life that we're all living, this shelter in place, as SIP or sipping. All right? Make it happen. Make it happen. It's not a request. It's an order.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Taking charge. So anyway, so you're living the lethargic life.
Right. That's pretty consistent, though. But yes.
So keeping things steady. Status quo.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, there's just more people around all the time. It's sure. Really.
Other than that, how are things going this week?
Not too bad. I mean, I feel like they're starting to develop a little bit more of a rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
I am sleeping fairly normally now.
Oh, good.
is nice. Beyond that, yeah, it's starting to feel normal. I guess I did reach a point I should know. Now that I'm thinking more, I've blocked out apparently from my memory.
Yeah.
There was a stage yesterday where I was past my limit of tolerance for just kind of anything that was going on around me.
Okay.
I was feeling like my kid, like I was, you know, say to the kids, okay, here, well, this is, you know, a long standing task they have. They empty the dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard to figure out if the dishwasher is ready to be emptied. You look inside of it.
Yeah.
If there are dishes there, then you empty them.
Right.
And there were a couple other things that we've asked them to add on, and these things were not happening. And I was just really annoyed. And I just found that I was kind of impatient all throughout that period. So, but then we all went for a walk, and that helped.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, but I want to keep myself being honest with people, you know?
Sure.
I'm not doing this perfectly.
Okay.
I am a real person with the struggles of a real person. There you go.
Plus, also some more struggles. Yeah, the struggles of a real person, plus, yeah, there you go.
Correct.
Fair enough. It's interesting. I'm glad that you're sleeping well. I'm actually starting to have some trouble getting myself to go to sleep at night. Ooh. And it feels really stupid because it's like I've had all day. I'll just go to bed. Just go to bed and enjoy the fact that you can just go to bed. And I'm having trouble doing that. And so
now, what is keeping you awake?
I don't know that. See, I don't know the answer to that yet. Because what's keeping me awake is I'm not getting my butt up off the couch and going to bed. And it's not that I'm super enthused by the stuff that I'm watching on TV or the game I'm playing or something like that, but I just keep finding another thing and just keep going and keep going. I don't know.
Is it the lack of structure during the day that is causing, or the change? Well, for you, it's a change in your structure during the day.
Yeah, it's a big change anyway. In structure, and it's and still all over the place, because now this week I'm back to doing training. I did two trainings already this week, and I have another one tomorrow. So I do actually have to get up and go to work sometimes. So, I don't know.
Are your training sessions like at the beginning of Rocky IV? Is that the one where he's in Russia? And he's running through the snow and chopping wood?
No, they're not, because we don't have snow here. So minor,
but otherwise, mostly the same.
They're more like the training montage from the original Rocky movie. So I take everyone into a big meat locker, and we do a lot of punching sides of beef. And while we punch the sides of beef, like I talk about, here are the values that our agency has for how we relate to human beings, and then we punch some beef some more, and then I'm like, and now let me tell you about some of the signs that someone is having a stroke, so you can administer first aid, and then we do that. So that's how it goes. It kind of goes back and forth like that.
Well, physical activity and learning often work well together to cement information in the brain, so that's a good. This is good.
It's true. So yeah, that's exactly what I mean when I say training. I get everyone in big old gray sweatshirts and take them to meet. And then at the end, I say it now, do you feel like you're ready to support adults with developmental disabilities? And they always look at me and say the same thing. What? So yeah. But no, that's it. No, but the trainings are strange. They're different from how they usually are, because usually there is some, like, person-to-person, some physical interaction. When you're doing CPR, sometimes you're having to get close to other people to demonstrate things like choking. When we do the training that we do tomorrow, a lot of it is about physical skills for helping someone if they're unsteady or if you would have to restrain somebody, and we can't do any of that stuff right now. So So I do a lot more lecture and then video and stuff like that. But So the other weird thing that happened to me this week, which you know a little bit about, is I switched phone carriers, which it wouldn't really be an exciting story. Maybe isn't an exciting story. Except I can tell you, Kevin, AT&T won't be a sponsor of our podcast anymore.
That reminds me of my favorite joke.
Yeah?
Do you remember my favorite joke?
I don't.
The Colonel Sanders goes to heaven?
No, but I want to hear it now. Can you tell it?
Yeah.
Will I have to learn how to do any beeping or editing for this joke?
No. Okay. No. All right. So, after years of selling and eating of fried chicken, mashed potatoes and such, Colonel Sanders dies and finds himself at the gates of heaven. And says to St. Peter, I think I'm ready. And he says, St. Peter welcomes him in. And after some time, Colonel Sanders is getting kind of bored. He's kind of missing the rhythm and action of the chicken business. And so he goes before God and asks God, says to him, I'd like to make you an offer, a business deal. I will give you $100 if you change the Lord's Prayer to give us this day our daily chicken instead of give us this day our daily bread. And God says, you know, it's not too late for me to send you to the fiery place. Get out of here. So Colonel Sanders goes away. Comes back the next day, says, all right, I'll give you $1,000 if you change the Lord's Prayer from give us this day our daily bread to give us this day our daily chicken. Predictably, God does not respond well again, sends him packing. Colonel Sanders comes back each day. He's persistent. Finally, he comes in one day, and St. Peter and God had been talking about the fact that, you know, church attendance is down. There's been some scandals that have required some various, you know, expenses. There's aging infrastructure, old churches, all sorts of things, all the art and the archives. Church's a little strapped for cash, right? So then Colonel Sanders walks in and says, God, I will give you $10 billion if you change the Lord's Prayer from give us this day our daily bread to give us this day our daily chicken. God says, all right, it's a deal. So shake on it. Colonel Sanders goes away, and there's God sitting there on the throne, and he calls in St. Peter and says, that's not St. Peter. Anyway.
Wait a minute. Is there a St. Peter imposter in the middle of this joke? No. Okay, go ahead.
Have I been saying St. Peter the whole time?
You did.
All right. So he calls in St. Peter. Break. So he calls in St. Peter and says, all right, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. The good news is we just made $10 billion. The bad news is I think we're going to lose the Wonder Bread account.
There you go. There you go. I like that.
Oh, come on. You didn't laugh more?
I do. No, I like it. I do. As you got into it, then I realized I knew where it was eventually going to land. But I do like that joke. Yeah. No, that's a good one. I got lost for a second there when we decided we weren't sure whether it was supposed to be St. Peter. And then it sounded like you said...
Why are you bringing that back up? We were going to edit that part out.
The reason I bring that back up is because it sounded to me like at one point like you said the name Rick. And then I thought, well, I wonder if maybe next time you should tell the joke that God is talking to Rick. And then...
And so that's God where calls I, in I got, his accountant, Rick.
I got totally distracted by the Rick thing, and then the punchline landed, and I was still sort of stuck out in Rick land a little bit. So I apologize for not laughing more, because I like that joke. That is a good one. That's an excellent, it's a really good joke. Whether
you don't have to oversell it here.
With St. Peter or Rick, it's a good joke.
Just let it exist on its own merits. You don't need to talk it up.
So anyway,
so you T-Mobile, or so you're going to a new carrier.
New carrier, right? Because we're out walking along, and Zach and I are taking a walk, and it's raining. It's been raining here for like 3 or 4 days. Finally stopped today. It was raining, and so Zach is walking along, and on the sidewalk there are places sometimes where there's like a metal grate or a metal plate, you know, because they get under there to do something. And just as I'm looking, I look ahead and I see Zachary is getting close to the metal plate. And just as I go to say, Zach, don't step on the metal plate, Zach steps on the metal plate. And he slips, flips up in the air. Just, you know, a small amount of panic for me, because the last time I saw somebody flip up in the air like that, it was me and my knee exploded. And that was bad. But yeah, he flipped up in the air, and what happened was then I watched it happen. I see he's got his phone in his hand, and I see he reaches and smashes his phone right against a paving stone. And he scrambles to his feet, looks at his phone, looks at me, and he says, "Fix the phone." And I was like, oh, boy. Yes, okay. So he didn't have an expensive phone, because these kind of things can happen.
Right.
And so he and it was even like an inexpensive one that I was paying for like $6 a month. So I call up the insurance, you know, I say I'm going to do a claim. No, I didn't call him. I did it online. I say, okay, I'm going to do a claim, and I fill in the whole thing. And it tells me that that they can't fix this phone. First it says, oh, we can fix screens. And then it says, well, we can't fix this phone. And I'm realizing, oh, sure, because it's a very cheap phone. And instead, what we're going to give you is a Samsung Galaxy S7. And I'm like, that's a five-year-old phone. And then they said, and your deductible for that will be $112.
Yeah, that's
he owed $130 on the phone. So they wanted to make me pay $112. I was still going to owe the $130 on the phone, and now I would have a four-year-old Samsung phone. So what that made me think of course, is the line from Office Space. We're going to be getting rid of some of these people here, Mr. Samir Naga, not going to work here anymore, right? So that was the moment I was like, not going to go to AT&T anymore. No. So, so paid off the phone, left. And went to a new carrier because we got better rates and deals and all that. And I'm looking forward to not dealing with AT&T's customer service on any level anymore. Like I said, AT&T is definitely not going to be a sponsor of any upcoming episodes. So,
you know what? I wouldn't even take their sponsor.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wouldn't either. I would honestly be concerned that they would spell our name wrong on the check. So I would, you know, that's not going to help. So anyway, got new phones, which means now we've spent, like, you know, you had to spend all the time, you know, changing over things and phones. And I know they made it better than it used to be, but it's still, you know, and then Zachary is getting used to this new phone, and he has, you know, so anything, any of the sort of bloatware junk that they put on there, I got to get that all off of there, because he's not going to take that off himself. Instead, it's going to just get messier. So, yeah. So that filled up like a day and a half of my time.
I wish you had talked with me about this first.
Why?
We switched to Mint Mobile.
Yeah.
Not that long ago. And
I've heard good things.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you a couple things that are nice. We then just, you can go and you can get a phone through them, or you can simply procure an unlocked phone.
Mm-hmm.
The advantage of that being just buying a phone that's not connected to any kind of carrier is the phones we bought did not have any kind of bloatware on them whatsoever.
Yeah.
So didn't have to deal with any of that. And we also occasionally get voicemails from Ryan Reynolds, who is a minority owner of
Mobile. He's, but now I'm going to correct you just briefly there, because technically being Canadian is not a minority. So,
oh my God.
But yeah, he is. I didn't know he was part of there.
In business speak, minority owner, I guess maybe it means something different. You're trying to swip swap those phrases, aren't you?
I am swip swapping.
Oh yeah.
Pull the old swip swap. Oh, man. The old Swip Swap. Classic Swip Swap.
You know, I think the sipping is getting to you. Man, I think it is. All right, so. No, but I actually, we've had excellent luck with it, and it's dirt cheap. And it's been better service than any previous provider we've had.
Well, that's cool. Well, that's cool. We did not. So maybe we should encourage people. Go to Mint Mobile then. Because, yeah, I've heard good things. In fact, I heard Ryan Reynolds talking about that on Stephen Colbert last week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he was.
Did he mention that he leaves voicemails?
He did not mention he leaves voicemails. Not like,
it's not like it was individually sent to me. Yeah. You know, but, yeah. A communal blast. And
I wish he would have mentioned that, because I might have, maybe would have, like, maybe that would have swung me over. Because instead, yeah. I bought some aviation gin, and I figure I'm going to try to drink enough of that to see if I can hear Ryan Reynolds in my head.
You know what you can do if you want to hear Ryan Reynolds. You don't have to drink yourself
into oblivion. The point
of having hallucinations. You can simply put on one of the many movies he's been in.
Well, sure, that's one way to go about it. But in none of those movies does he use my name. And so I'm hoping to hear him use my name. So
just dub over it at some point in one of his movies. Whenever he's on the roof, talk to someone else and say, Brandon, while he's speaking to that person.
But he used all my editing skills for that. Yeah. I like that. And then that could be, you know what? That'll be a new video service that I'll have. Where what I'll do is I will rent you videos and in the videos, like, you tell me your name, I will edit it, and so it'll dub in your name. So you could be in these movies, right? So then when, let's think a Ryan Reynolds movie that he's proud of. Green Lantern. Yeah. Green Lantern. When he's like, Sinestro, instead he would swap that out, and it would say, like, Bob. And then I'll rent that video to you. All right, I got a plan. I'm gonna write that down. All right. All right, Ryan Reynolds video swap plan.
Well, before you abandon everything else to pursue that business opportunity, can we finish this podcast?
Sure. Yeah. Well, no, I'll do this podcast. I'm gonna be an entrepreneur. I'm gonna do a variety of things, like Ryan Reynolds with the Mint Mobile and the gin and the acting. I believe is the third thing. So.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. The podcast will be my acting, and then the video service will be my gin, and then I need to come up with a mobile phone equivalent. All right. Cool. This is going well. So
what's our topic for today? What are we hoping to use to segue into ridiculous conversation?
Which oh, is man, happened. I hope we can get to some ridiculous conversation. Whew, how are we going to pull that off? So the question that you posed to me that I thought was nice, I liked it, was what are you looking forward to about getting older? What are you looking forward to about getting older?
Right.
Now, last week, did I make you answer first since it was my question, or did I answer first? I don't remember.
I have no recollection. Okay. That was a week ago.
So I am older already. So
you've always, as far as I'm concerned, you've always been older.
Exactly. And I'm always going to be older. Yes. So what am I looking forward to about getting older? I had to think about this for a while. And because like when I was a kid, when we were little, I always wanted to be older. I don't know if was this obvious to you or did you know this or I don't, but like as a kid, I wanted to be a grown up.
Yes, I think you practiced being an abusive stepfather on me.
Nice. Yeah.
No, you did not. No, you were actually a pretty tolerant
stepfather. Quite tolerant brother. Yes. I was like the kind of really permissive stepfather. I was like, yeah, go on, go do some stuff. Get me some smokes while you're out. Right. That's what I did. So I related to you as a brother. But so the question was, what are you looking forward to by getting older? And so, like I said, as a kid, I always wanted to be an adult. I didn't, I didn't find it very easy to relate to my peers, like a lot of the time. I didn't feel that comfortable with peers often. One of the stories, like the earliest thing that I think of that mom has told me this, is that when I was like really little, when we lived in the trailer park in Des Plaines, there's another Des Plaines reference. Des Plaines. For those of you who've been listening carefully, that's a waste of your time. Anyway, when we lived at the trailer park in Des Plaines, that I would apparently walk around the lanes and find like old retirees sitting in their lawn chairs and just sit down and talk with them. So I've kind of like, I wanted to get older. I wanted to be older. I wanted to be, you know, get into that space. And, but like, I think at this point, I was trying to think about what am I looking forward to about getting older? And this is going to kind of sound bad. I'm worried, but I'm going to go for it anyway. I think the thing I'm looking forward to is that, and I love my kids. Okay. So let me start with that. I love my kids. But at the same time, like Zach in particular, needs a lot more attention than a typical 17-year-old does. Mm-hmm. And so I still feel like there are a lot of ways that there are things that I'm interested in doing. There are things that Christy and I as a couple have talked about doing that we haven't done and just haven't been able to find an easy way to do them. Because parenting a kid with the kinds of needs that Zach has, doesn't really make space for it. And I think one thing I look forward to, I mean, it's kind of the empty nest thing then in one sense, but it's more like, because I feel like even before you get to the empty nest part of things that people sometimes talk about, I'm looking forward to having a little less responsibility on that wheel. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's understandable.
And again, I just left my job so that I could be, you know, full-time support for him. So that seems like an odd thing to say, but but at the same time, I mean it. Like, as I think about what future holds, I feel like one thing that future holds is there is going to be a point where either he's going to be more independent or there are going to be other resources who can also help him more. And that's going to give me some space to operate a little more independently.
Well, I don't think there's any inconsistency in enjoying what you're doing in the present moment and still looking forward to a future point when you don't necessarily have that as a urgent responsibility.
Yeah. So that's one thing I thought of.
Yeah, because I would say I could say something similar, and probably for some similar reasons and for some reasons that are different. But I certainly look forward to a time where I don't live in a child-driven world.
Sure.
As much as I enjoy being a father, you know, I mean, I don't enjoy every part of being a father.
Right.
And my kids don't enjoy every part of being my child.
No.
And that's fair. It's fine. It's the way it works. But I think the thing that I look forward to most is seeing what my children become. How they kind of get to it, what point they get to, how they grow, once they get past my influence, what choices they make and the things that they do. And to see, you know, because I think there's a lot that happens once you leave the sphere of your parents. I mean, I don't think I'm saying anything really revolutionary here. And I want to see how what those choices are. I want to see,
sure,
you know, maybe selfishly a little bit, what paths they go down, and you know, see where maybe my influence has been in that.
Yeah.
Or to see where they've completely rejected whatever they've seen in me, and you know, understanding those choices. And yeah, I want to be a grandfather too. I just want to hold some babies.
There you go. That doesn't seem bad to me, but I hadn't actually thought about that at all. But yeah, I could see that. Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. I think in some ways, you know, I mean, when I'm saying that I want to see like this time where Zach's independence grows to the degree that you, I like the way you said that, that you, like, you're living a life that's not sort of child-centric. And I think that's the thing that's a little different about special needs parenting is that, mm-hmm. like, by the time your kids are 17, 18, 19, usually that balance is already starting to move more than it right. has for us. And in some ways, so I think I can resonate with that. I get that idea of wanting to, you know, have life be about some of those other things.
Yeah, and you, please tell me if I'm wrong in this assessment. You know, for me, there's this kind of evolving progression in terms of what my children's needs are, and over time. I don't know that the amount of effort is going to change, but the type of effort will change.
Yeah.
There'll be a much more dramatic shift from age 3 to age 18.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess I get the sense that, for instance, with Zach, there is still that evolution, but it's not necessarily swinging as fast and as... To as much of an extreme.
Well, so the thing that doesn't change, or that, yeah, I mean, you're right. Things change, and in terms of like the stuff that Zach needs and the ways that Zach needs to be supported, those things change. But the thing, like with, I think in most children's situations, one part of those movements is that the amount of independence the child has right. continues to increase. And Zach's independence definitely increases, but at a really different tempo. And right. And so that's the thing. So it's almost like the ways that we need to support him are very different from what they were, you know, 3 years ago or 5 years ago. But what they still have in common is a pretty high level of dependence in some specific areas. Anything else that you think of? Anything beyond like kids, or even maybe beyond you related, like just things you look forward to about getting older? Looking forward to my knees hurting more. That's gonna be great.
Well, yeah, there's all sorts of things though, you know, to not look forward to.
Yeah,
and I think those are pretty well established. I am not looking forward to seeing how the world changes. I think the world changes so fast now.
Yeah.
And it's exhausting at times. I don't want to go to the extreme of being, a Luddite, but it must have been nice when you went from birth to death and there really wasn't a change in how the world around you functioned.
Like the core technologies were still the same.
Right, right.
Right.
And this is, none of this is meant to say that, you know, like I said, that technology is inherently problematic. But there is a certain, you know, with that consistency, not devoting all of that emotional energy to always keeping up with how things are changing.
Sure.
Particularly when that change isn't necessarily offering us anything significant. It's not improving life. It's just changing the way we function.
Right. Or because the they're like fundamental changes, and then there are incremental changes, right? And there's a lot of change that we experience that seems like it's more incremental than fundamental. And yeah, I get what you mean. Well, it's like what I was just talking about with phones, right? So I spent all this time. We still have phones, and it's just it's phones. But I had to spend all this time, you know, transferring files, pulling off, you know, whatever stupid things Samsung wants to put on the phone that he doesn't need, and all that stuff. And it's like, okay, now I have a new phone. He's got it. So in theory, that's better, and it's change. But like, to what? How much better is anything going to be for any of us now that we have new phones? And you know, like 1%.
Right. Like Apple and Samsung want you to think that every year when they release a new phone or a new iPad or something else, that it's like the invention of penicillin. But it's not. You know what I mean? It's like putting a new label on the penicillin bottle.
Right. Right. You know,
the invention of the smartphone, yeah, that was a big deal. But I feel like almost more time has been spent figuring out how to tweak what the smartphone is, rather than learn how does the smartphone best interact with our lives.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's not the topic that we're...
I have the answer for how it best interacts with our lives.
And what is that?
Quibi. That's going to be it right there. Our next episode is just going to all be about how Quibi is changing our lives.
Okay. I'm assuming. It seems like you're getting a little hard on Quibi here, and it just, has it even launched yet?
Yesterday.
Okay.
No, is today Wednesday? No, Monday. Monday it launched.
Oh.
So you got Judge Chrissy Teigen, you can watch her show. You can watch Chance the Rapper on Punk'd. And then other things. So, don't do that, because you're going to be busy doing a lot of Swip Swap, promotion, and a lot of SIP. Communication,
but next like week we're overdoing it a little bit now with the we're making too hard of a sell.
No, you have to say it seven times before a person fully like gets it and embraces it.
Okay,
yeah. All right. So I defend my decision, like I have defended so many questionable decisions in my life.
Well, if it's working.
Yeah. Why change a good thing, right?
Or a thing.
Why change
well, whether it's a good thing. Or not.
Right.
This is what we were just talking about. Why change it? Right. Why change it just to change it? Because it's likely that the new thing won't be any better. So
that's correct.
Even if it's not working, let's just keep doing it.
It's likely just going to be an incremental improvement.
So in the end, I've made the case. I've made the case for... There's no need to improve at any point.
That's correct.
It's all foolishness. It's all a vapor.
So what am I looking forward to about getting older? Just more of the same. That's it. That's it.
I mean, I look forward to the potential opportunities that come with that time.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you could phrase that as, I look forward to being older, to old age. And be able to look back on a rich life of experiences and putting all of those pieces together to understand what has that meant for my life. And maybe even finding a way for that to pass on whatever accumulated, you know, understanding what that puzzle is,
yeah.
What that picture becomes to, you know, children or grandchildren or great grandchildren.
As I get older, I also look forward
kids
to
kids walking down the street.
Yeah. I look forward to being able to listen all the way through the new Bob Dylan song and understand what's going on there.
I think it's about JFK, right? I haven't listened to it yet.
My first attempt, I only made it like 8 minutes. And I was bewildered. And and listen, let's be very clear. You know this. I love Dylan. I think Dylan is important. Dylan in popular music was not an incremental change. He was a sea change. I love Bob Dylan, and I didn't understand what was happening. Like, it was a combination. It was like a, it was sort of moving fluidly with time, and then it was referring to a lot of other old songs in a way that almost felt like the song American Pie being done by Bob Dylan. And then, but then, like, also, it felt like a couple of, like, groaners of puns. And again, I like puns. So I like Bob Dylan, I like puns. But a JFK song by Bob Dylan with puns, somewhere at, like, minute 8, I was like, I gotta switch to something else. I gotta take a breather.
Were they, like, dad joke level puns?
Because I was driving at the same, maybe that was the problem. I was driving at the same time, and I was like, I feel like I'm trying to concentrate on the road, and I'm confused by what I'm hearing. I need something that's not as hard to listen to right now. It required more than I had while I was driving. So, I need to give it another listen. And, so I look forward to that as I get older.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I feel like that's more of a short to medium range.
I'm hoping. Gosh, I hope so. I hope we're not having this conversation again in 2030. And I'm like, you know what I'm still working on? Still working on that Dylan song.
I'm at minute 12 now.
And there was something about Jack Ruby, and I... What? Anyway, so... Yeah. All right, well, why don't we take a break here? And then we'll come back and... we said that our weekly segment was going to be What's Sustaining Your Faith in Humanity? And last week, we only kind of had one thing. This is not a good week for humanity. So let's see what we have this week.
And I mean, really, when you set this up as our little recurring element,
yeah,
you picked a bad time.
I know. It was a challenge. It's a challenging topic to be able to bring something fresh every week. And I'll reflect that after we take the break, because my thing's not particularly fresh. It's actually something very timeless, even more timeless than Bob Dylan. But it is sustaining my faith nonetheless. So,
All right,
we'll be right back. All right, we're back. Whatever that was that we were selling, I want more of it. I don't know about you, Kevin.
Yes.
Yeah, so much more. Okay, so what's sustaining our faith in humanity this week? By the way, people, if you have free time, like after you finish, hyping up new words, if you want to write a theme song for what's sustaining your faith in humanity this week, go for it. And if you submit it to us, we'll play it. That's a promise.
Yeah, that sounds good, actually.
Yeah.
We do have a new logo now, right?
We do. Yes, we have a new logo. And you should be seeing that on all of the different podcast sites. And so, Ed, you want to say who made that logo?
Yes, I need to give credit. It is a combined effort of my daughter, who would not allow me to say her name because she does not want any of you to stalk her, and her friend Milena, and her other friend Elsa. So it's a joint effort.
So she's okay with Milena and Elsa getting stalked?
They're not afraid of being stalked.
Oh, I see.
So she has some awareness that she isn't actually going to be stalked, but she's not prepared to give that up. Yeah, so maybe she is. She's throwing her friends out there.
As a test case.
It's, right. Pushing them down when the bear is chasing you. Let them get caught first, and she's gone.
I don't have to run faster than a bear. I just have to run faster than you.
Right. She is a little
bit. That's my favorite joke, by the way. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, I mean, it's pretty consistent. Woosleys make great friends. And there it is again, showing up. All right. So on that note, what's sustaining your faith in humanity this week? What if I go first? I'll go first.
Yeah.
So, like I said, the thing that I have this week is not a brand new thing that I observed or anything like that, but it is music. Music is the thing about people that continues to give me hope. Because music is about people expressing creativity. Music is how people really let out what they're feeling, right? And it has, like, just at this moment in music, there's this enormous breadth of range of music, of the kinds of things you can hear. And some of it is stuff that appeals to you, and some of it is stuff that you think is trash, and some of it is, you know, you're like, I don't understand some other generation's music. And that's kind of how it should be, because in many cases, that generation was expressing what mattered to them, and it's, or does matter to them, and you're not them. So it makes sense that you wouldn't get it. But that ability, like, we haven't run out of music. There's always going to be more opportunity for expressing what we love and what hurts us and what angers us in song, and doing it in a way that isn't exactly like anyone else has done it before. So that's my thing this week.
Okay. No, I think you make excellent points. And I've been noticing a lot of situations where there are, this is a difficult time for a lot of musicians, because musicians at this point make a lot of their money, their living wage, through performance.
Sure.
And much of that has been taken away as an opportunity. They've been furloughed or laid off like a lot of other people, mm-hmm. in that sense. But there are still a lot of situations where music venues are setting up things where, you know, they will be streaming a show or a performance, and there are individual musicians doing that. And there's a sizable number of situations where there may be performances that are, you know, you're paying a certain amount, mm-hmm. in order to watch it. But there's a lot of content, a lot of things being put out there that are free too, where there are still musicians and other people that, you know, whether it's, you know, intellectuals, artists of other kinds, educators, you know, scientists, whatever, who are putting things out there to try and offer something to people in a time where a lot of people have a lot more time on their hands than they would otherwise have. And I think that's nice that people are offering that there's these opportunities to connect, that people are offering something that has a value to other people, because that's the thing that they can offer right now that can alleviate some of the difficulty of this situation.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I definitely get what you mean. And that, and here's the thing. Like, I agree with you. The point that for people who make their living as musicians right now, this is a very hard time. And again, anyone who's in that kind of performance space or is deeply dependent on the gathering of people, this is a very, very difficult time to do whatever it is that you do. But the amazing thing is, like, whatever's going to happen with this, right? However it happens, there's going to be music on the other side, right?
Oh, yeah.
There was a flu pandemic 102 years ago, and there was music after that. And there was the Black Death, and there was music after. You know what I mean? I don't say that to be flippant, but I'm just like, I'm thinking about, you know, there are so many ways that things feel very fractured right now, feel very tenuous. And there are people who are asking questions about how many parts of what we do are going to continue. I don't know if you've heard this, actually, that I was reading something while I was earlier today, that in Santa Clara County, so where San Jose is and where the 49ers play, a public official said in a meeting today, I think it was, that they are kind of doubting that they're going to be able to hold sporting events before Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's like, you know, so the question is, so are the 49ers going to open their season on the road? Or, is it the larger point that we're not going to be ready for that from anybody until then? You know, so there's big things that are changing. Like the stuff, you know, we count on sports and we love our sports. We do this. But they'll survive in some way. But music is one of those things. Like music is more important, I think, to the human condition than sports or just about anything else that we generate, frankly. And as much as all of this is in turmoil, it's still going to be on the other side in some form.
Yeah, I think that's a really good summary, and I'll let that speak for itself. Thank you. Yeah. And let's introduce, we had talked at the start of our brainstorming about doing this podcast.
Yeah.
About
did I lose you?
Being a segment called, we were thinking of calling it, Daughter Who Likes to Come at Me with Non Sequitur Type Information. And I'm going to try and collect some of those thoughts. And Brandon, you can try and collect some of those thoughts from your end. And we will pass some of those along to you all.
Absolutely.
So, thing my daughter thinks we should know. An ant can fall from any height and survive. It has an incredibly low terminal velocity.
That's amazing. I think I should know that. I'd have to agree. So I want to unpack that a little bit though. So an ant can fall from your height, but is there and it's terminal? Will it like start on fire at any point? Like if you started from high enough, like from space, would it burn up on reentry?
I think just about anything would, right?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Right, so there's ultimately correct that, angle? But if you're dropping it from within like a non like out of orbit. Okay. Yeah, you can tell I'm using all the good science words, because
if I'm understanding this correctly, it's size and weight as such.
Got a Bachelor of Arts, not a Bachelor of Science. Sorry.
It gets enough updraft that it balances out the downward force, the acceleration is balanced off by its updraft, by its the upward force.
Okay.
So all right. It comes in.
That makes safely. Sense.
Probably has something to do with that exoskeleton it's got and all that jazz.
Probably. Which, by the way, good reminder there, Updraft is I love that movie. Remember that Kurt Russell movie about the fires?
Yeah, that was filmed here in Chicago.
Oh, wait, that's not Updraft. That's Overdraft. No, that's different. It's Backdraft. Overdraft was the sequel where the firefighters didn't deposit their checks on time. That was good. It's good content to end on. It's sharp. It's like, you know, there might be people who are missing their father. Stays sharp right to the end.
There are probably people who are missing their fathers right now.
Yeah, and this is
gonna... So you offered some prime dad joke content.
That's what I'm there for. Yeah. So either it could, and it could go one or two ways. Either it made them go, oh, those are the dad jokes I've been missing. Or they go, yeah, no, I guess I was okay without that.
He wasn't a drunk or anything, but he sure was just
his sense
overbearing.
Of humor was tired.
Too many jokes.
Yeah. So I provide that service kind of in a couple of different directions. All right. Well, I think that's about all we have for today, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So until next time, it's been great talking to you, Kevin. It's been great talking with all of you who are listening. Both of you. It's not both of you. It's many people. Huge hordes. At any rate, it's nice to talk. And if you are interested in any of the things we talked about and you want to follow up on them, we may have some information on our Facebook page, Sons of the Double Cheeseburger. Or you could send us a note. If you want to make sure that you get the next episode when it comes out, if you're following us on Spotify, you want to go to Spotify, go to our page on Spotify and hit follow, and then it will it'll let you know. It'll automatically get that to you. Any other last thoughts, Kevin? Any other big sign-off for you?
Until then, next time, that is.
Yeah.
Wash your hands and stay 6 feet apart.